let's do this. Welcome back to For Filth, and we are reviewing basically the last episode of this season of RuPaul's Drag Race. And today it is the nigga-tastic, nigga-centric, negro-ass episode, because you got the two black girls only here.
Period.
Nigga.
I'll say it right now.
Yes, we can. Thank God that other person left to go do their Spanish language podcast, because if they were here, it would fuck everything up.
But isn't she like West Indian or something? Can she say it?
Didn't I just say I hate the Puerto Rican flag? Last episode. Okay. So anyway, yes, Caputo is out. She got her wisdom teeth removed. Bitch. That is
elective surgery tease.
Was it elective?
I'm assuming maybe.
Oh, did she not have pain and then she had to get them out?
Oh, it might be that.
Yeah, my orthodontist is like, girl, nobody removes wisdom teeth in this day and age. Like, if they don't hurt, keep them in, because they're meant to be there. Like, you should remove them. Yeah, so she's getting me some oxy. Praise God.
You better stop before they arrest your ass. This is not cute. This is not cute.
You know what, the girls?
This is not food for thought, sis. This is something else, honey. We don't have the budget for that shit.
If I check your pockets, will I find anything else?
No, sir. No, ma'am.
No, ma'am. I don't have anything else. Hand in air, finger on gums. Like, oh, I don't have anything.
Sure. You're going to actually need to put gunshots in for a lot of this content that we just spilled. So just
I know. That. I'll put a few gunshots in the background.
Thank you so much.
So anyways, today we're going to review this like technical finale episode. Heidi is gone. Rightfully so, because she did kind of underperform. But I mean, versus Jackie, like, to be honest with you, I would have rather seen Heidi. So much better of her personality. And I think this really would have been her challenge. Like, this kind of dancing, rap, like, I think she would have slayed this challenge if she was there.
Heidi would have given us at least a note that made sense. You know what I'm saying? She might not have given you multiple moments, but she would have given you one or two cute ones. And her dancing and, you know, talent, as far as her ability to, like, perform on stage, in my opinion, is definitely stronger than Jackie's.
Yeah, Jackie and that, she broke out that disco wig, and I was like, are you kidding me again?
Sis.
This is the third time we've done seen it this season, really?
Well, you know, that wig has texture and heritage, and
apparently it's brown underneath.
I think, like, so.
The mesh netting is brown. I know it is. Like, she puts it up against her foundation. She's like, yes.
Yes, this is real. This is me.
I'm a woman of color, yeah. I face oppression just like you. Or like, whatever she says, like, Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, stop. Stop. You know, just for the audience's sake, I know there are good, you know, Muslim girls bragging her ass on Twitter, too. They helped me do it. So it is not just us. I know this. A lot of the girls feel this way, and I'm so sorry about it. Be mad.
I feel so destructive today.
The volatility has definitely upscaled without the cancer girl in the group. For sure. We do not have the emotional, you know, water sign energy that we need to make this show make sense. I'm so sorry, Your Honor.
Guys, let's, like, scale it back. Let's not attack them.
Right.
It's not only fit. It's not the people. It's just OnlyFans.
Anyways,
so yes, funny enough, this episode, like, there wasn't a whole lot going on in the main portion, but let's just say that Heidi's magic knocking out the lights because they eliminated her wrongfully was my gig.
The spirits were not happy.
They weren't. The entities, the Shaka summons, they came back. Heidi was on her way out, like Patrick Swayze in Ghost, when those things came to take the souls or whatever. Like, Heidi was on the way out, and they came up to her and were like, we can be used. Do with us what you will.
She was giving, anything you do is going to fail.
Yes. With the fingers.
Yeah, she had the two fingers out. giving very much so Whoopi Goldberg.
Yes.
In purple, color purple. Like, that's crazy.
Yes, on the yes, with the color purple challenge the week before. So then we like look at the roster, and Jackie's the only person without wins. And I'm very happy that Crystal did win, because I think she really does deserve the accolades. Because when you look at her track record, she started out low on all of the placements up until like maybe week four. And then she started becoming safe. And then she's been high consistently ever since then. And she finally won. It's the opposite track record of Gigi Good at the moment, except for this last part, because she did win the last challenge.
Yeah, true. Although I don't know if Gigi had as many low lows as, like, I think some of Gigi's lows were like in comparison to Gigi's brand, mm-hmm. as opposed to being lows for the competition. And also, right. her lows were when they were getting even, you know, pickier and pickier, I think, too. So I can kind of give her a little bit of credit back for that.
Right. That makes sense. It's like a five in her book is different from a five from Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So then we get into like the Vegas challenge. I thought that was fun, where they had to create the headpieces. That was actually very fun for me.
Yeah, that was cute.
Yeah, I still don't understand how Jada can paint in like 15 minutes and like walk out on stage and be almost perfect.
Jada Essence Hall is crazy to me, like in the best way. Like, I don't know what she can't do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The like, only time I think she's had problems is when she maybe misunderstood the direction and they had to just kind of clarify it for her. But the minute you give her direction, it's like, duh.
She's almost perfection. Like, she's like 9.76 out of 10, pretty much. Like, I don't think there's anything she can't do. I mean, other than her singing, because yeah. I'm not here for that.
She's got one of those vocals that's just like, I think even without being a singer, it's so iconic that it's okay anyway.
Not to my ears. My Sennheiser HD ones, my Momentum 2, that noise canceling came on, and I said, "Woo! I gotta take these off."
You got that Tidal HD.
Oh yeah, and the with all premium. And it happened on all three of my headphones, just for everyone to know. Like, I tried, but
oh damn, okay, go off.
Yeah. and then let's see. Oh, and then we got into the actual like, kind of like teaching moment with Jamal Sims, who I love. He was a choreographer in Step Up 2 and a few other things back when I had my dancer craze before I broke my ankles in three places and fucked up my whole dancer dream. But yes, like, I love Jamal Sims. How did you feel about like the choreography everyone was given? I'm curious.
Sometimes I wondered, because I just felt this way. I wonder if they like sort of scaffold the choreography and give some girls easier moves than others.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder about that, because I felt like some of the girls were doing everything, and then there were others who were like, okay, here's like a pop and a lock.
Yes.
And like move over here and do a quick drop.
Like doing the widow hand movement one way and then the other way. And
yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, just to be fair, I'd probably have to review it yet again just to be 100% sure of who exactly I have an issue with. But I feel like I just don't feel like the choreography feels equal throughout the entire challenge, which seems to be kind of problematic to me.
Right. It's very similar to how I felt about, like, if we get into the performances, like, Gigi's slide across the stage, that's very similar to Gigi's performance in the Madonna thing, where that camera work, they just do something with her. And when RuPaul put in, she hit the oil vein just at the right time to get the money from it. And she put money into production and said, here's a sliding, what do you call the scaffolding where you can put the camera on and then you push it across and it makes that move in production?
Ooh, I don't know the name, but I know exactly what you mean.
Yes, like that scaffolding. She purchased that and was like, y'all do with this what you will. I'm keeping the lights on at World of Wonder. Okay. So make this production everything. So
Gigi is good, no matter what.
And she is good. She did that in the performance. Like, let's just talk about the performance. Like, she comes out. First, they're at the mirror performance. I thought that was so beautiful.
It was yeah. super cute.
They set up the stage really well for this performance. It wasn't as low budget as like previous musicals have been for me. Like, the props were nice. The formations were nice. Everybody performed well. Even the Predator. Like, they all performed well. And then Yeah, the predator. She's a fucking predator. But anyway. And then, like, Gigi had on her black hair that she's worn, like, 2 times, but I still love it. Same. No matter what.
It's a look.
Who was your favorite in, like, the mirrors thing? Like, who was the best one?
I love Jada in everything she does. I thought she was only second to Gigi for me this time.
Yeah.
In this particular segment. Not overall. I actually thought we'll get to it. But
yeah.
In this particular segment, I think Gigi did the most with what she was given. Like, she was all over that whole, like, prop, which I think is a really good thing to do in something like this, where you have sort of a relatively stationary position on the stage, but you have to, you know, take the spotlight for X amount of seconds.
Yeah.
I think she just was the most eye-catching.
And even when they were standing in that stationary mirror at the end, my eyes went to Gigi, and she was on the far left.
Part of it too is, like, Gigi's wig and her face. I think she knows what she's doing on some level, because she's spotlighting her very pale face with this, like, dark black long wig. So it's just like you have to look at her. Whereas I think one of the issues that Jada had is that a lot of her makeup can seem like Photoshop makeup. And it blends in overall with a lot of her, like, the palette choices that she makes and her skin tone and the brown hair. I believe it was brown at the time, too. So yeah. Sometimes I feel like it's harder to make out her features from a distance on stage.
With black girls, it's really hard for stage lighting, specifically with these shows, because they're hitting you with a lot of light that is specific to white people's skin. I mean, there are even documentaries done and different photographers, like... oh my God, she does all of the celebrity photography, and she also does the lighting for Insecure and the lighting for, she did some of the lighting for Moonlight.
Mm.
Yes. And they talk about how in different education systems that they don't teach a lot of these producers how to light people of color. And so when bright, pale, like almost white, yellow light hit someone of color, it always washes out all the painting you do, like, no matter what makeup you do. So I guess part of that to me is the lighting, but I'm really just, like, pulling anything out of my ass to defend Jada, because, like, I know she's perfect.
Like, yeah, she is. I don't even want to say anything. It's not me saying anything bad about Gigi. I think Gigi just made a good choice,
because
she could have had a blonde wig on or something, you know? She just made a choice to have the most striking sort of, like, visual representation, I think, out of most of the girls. And she's also one of the most fashionable ones as well. And so it's just hard not to look at her regardless of where she is on stage.
It's something about that vampiric pale skin.
Yes, we stand.
Yes, come on, Camila.
Yes.
Come on, Camila. So, funny enough, in this performance, just, like, another person that really actually kind of struck me was Crystal. Like, I think she really did good in the mirror performance, at least.
I thought Crystal overall was great. I know there was some critiques about the actual outfit that she chose for the dancing segment. Mm-hmm. But honestly, like, she stood up there with all the other girls at the top. No problem. Yeah.
There was really, in this performance, there was really nothing I could nitpick. Everyone did good, and no one fucked up.
Sherry, you know, I know she's supposed to not be a person just because she's a bad person, but, like, she was solid. Like, that was that bitch's challenge, to be honest.
Yeah.
That was, like, made for her.
I mean, she could have switched out that leotard for something else, but...
And we could talk about the way she paints, too, another day, and the way she, like, overdraws her lip is just kind of off-putting. But overall, when you see her move on screen, it starts to make more sense why she's there.
Yeah, she... Yeah, you can't remove her talent. Like, the talent is going to be there no matter what. Same as the designers who made the outfits. Like, it's all going to still be there, and it's going to be on the stage for you to see, but... You know, I'm somewhat just looking at the performance today, and the performance was fierce. Let me see. So then we can move into the runways pitch. The category is Eleganza Extravaganza, which is basically code for faggot code for your best drag.
I was about to say, because I won't lie to you, I was like, what does that mean in this case?
It's literally just bring out your best shit, girl.
Go off.
So first out on the runway, Crystal Method. And she comes out in this blue, jambi, like, Indonesian sultanate kind of, like, Western Indonesia look. And I know it's appropriation, but bitch, that the text.
She's half white, so she's half appropriation. I stand.
Yes. The blue, like the blue and the tones and the textures blended so well. And it was like asymmetrical. What the fuck?
It's a beautiful look. And I love how she beautified her very uncanny, eerie, like signature makeup for a very strange outfit. Because she could have chosen to like draw away from what was going on with her actual fit by sort of amping the makeup up to the nth degree, but I think she toned it down and made it a little bit more symmetrical and beautiful,
right? And
so that it didn't take away from what was going on, you know, below the neck, which was super smart.
And then, like, I don't think I could have ever thought of this look in my head. Like, for when her, I think about it.
For her, absolutely not. It fits when you look at it, but you're like, weren't you the Bert and Ernie girl? Like, what's going on?
But also, this does fit Bert and Ernie to me, because, like, I don't think I would have, if I was in this competition, I would have never thought to wear something like that as my best look. Like, I already have my best look planned out, and I already know what the fuck I'm wearing. Like, just for the audience, it's going to be a, if you've ever watched Magi, the Labyrinth of Magic, in episode 6, it's Paimon, the Djinn of Maniacal Love and Madness. She literally comes out of this feather fan, titties sitting with like gold jewelry, like the nipple piercings, and it's all connected to her arm banglets, and then she's got this long purple hair, purple skin. She's sickening. That's my look, but I'm gonna do like a person of color version. So I'm gonna have like the silk chiffon, like beige, like bodysuit, but it's gonna be really flowy, so that when I do turns and stuff, it kind of billows up. And then I'm going to have the long black, like, you know, down to my ass, Nicki Minaj walking to the plane hair. And then, like, a gold headdress, like a beautiful gold headdress.
I can't wait till you can log into Instagram one day, girl.
Oh, yeah.
One day. One fucking day, bitch.
When I hit create new account, y'all girls are not going to be able to take this.
Create new body.
Create new existence.
Create new energy, new body, new gender, bitch, whatever. That is so cute. Yes. Honestly, it's cute. Like, for real though, this look is so cute to me because it probably could have been like another challenge. Like, that's the thing with Crystal, is like a lot of her looks, because they're so sort of exploratory and diverse, this could have been an I Dream of Jeannie challenge or something.
Yeah.
And it would have still been an interesting take even on that. It's not costumey to me.
And it would have been more person of color than whatever Jackie was going to bring out with I Dream of Jeannie.
Who is Jackie? She's not like someone who's not on the show right now. Is that a past contestant?
I'm yelling because she's the one that I want to talk about next.
Go on.
So, you know, I praise the hell out of Crystal. Like, if I had to give her a number, like, that's probably an 8.5 out of 10 to me. Yeah.
Method got an 8.5 out of 10, period.
Yeah. And then Jackie comes out. Look, okay, I'm not trying to shit on Jackie, okay? Like, hear me out. Gigi did it better when she did the same dress. Like, if any listener has been a recurring person, you can go back to the episode where I stand Christian Dior in the new look. This is Gigi's dress with a crinoline that was not fitted to her body, and a crinoline that just was not, it wasn't tough enough. And so the bottom of the dress was moving in an awkward way. The textures took away from the classic silhouette. Like, that fabric took away from the power of that dress. Although I did love how beautiful the silhouette was, and it was almost like an extension on the bodice up to like her upper right chest piece. Like, it was so well done, but like that fabric just fucked it up. And then the gloves, I know it was supposed to match the hair and the shoes, but the gloves take away from like the power of the dress. I think if maybe she cut the gloves so that it was just like on her fingertips, I think that would have accentuated her like beautiful arms and chest. And then it would have made the dress a statement piece instead of trying to add too many focal points to the eye.
The issue I have with this dress is that it doesn't to me speak to any of the sort of themes and sort of the narrative of her overall drag up to this point. It feels like almost like I wouldn't say it feels out of nowhere because it is not, but it just does not to me speak to what I consider to be like Jackie Cox. Like Crystal speaks to Jack to being Crystal because it's so out there and it sort of fits with this sort of thematic like clowniness that she always manages to infuse into every moment, and it still has signature pieces like the chunky, you know, necklaces, and she's still got the face beat and everything. This Jackie Cox moment doesn't feel like unique to her in any way for me.
The dress is wearing her. She is not wearing the dress. Yeah,
for sure.
Like when Gigi walked out in it, that statement, it was not overpowering her. The whole silhouette and everything about it was Gigi. This look is not Jackie.
With that said, it is beautiful. I do love the asymmetrical sort of presentation at the top. And I like that on some level, she looks like a gift or something.
Yes.
She looks like a gift wrapped or something. But I still don't know why. Like, it doesn't, like, to me, I don't know why that is, that she looks like that.
It's because of that fabric.
There's no information.
It's very patchwork. When you think of those patchwork blankets, that texture is inside one of the squares.
And to me, that would have been okay if I was like, literally, if Sherry Pie wore this, it would have made more sense.
Right.
Sherry Pie has given us information that sort of feeds you this concept little by little that makes it make a little bit more sense in context holistically. But for Jackie Cox, the dress is wearing her because we don't see Jackie Cox in this dress.
Right. And I think, like, if I took this dress, I would remove the crinoline underneath and I would add more fabric to make the billowing bottom more stable so that when it walks, it doesn't feel cheap. There was something about it when it walked and moved and when the wind from the fans, like, you can tell when she's standing on stage, the wind from the fans are kind of, like, wafting away at the bottom of the dress. And I'm like, oh, this is just, it's not up to par with Gigi's dress for me to be able to be, like, this was it. So for me, this is like a 6.5, maybe a 7 out of 10. Like, I'm being gracious with it, but it is a beautiful silhouette. And she looked gorgeous. I have to say that too. She looked beautiful.
Yeah, she does. And that's the hard part for me is, like, I'm thinking, like you said to you, you know, this category is about your best drag. Mm-hmm. And I cannot believe that this is Jackie Cox's best drag based on what I know about Jackie Cox. It just doesn't even make any sense. And right. Part of the problem I have too is that for someone who is so tied to like cultural aspects of what informs their drag and also who speaks to specific periods, I would have loved to have seen an infusion of your personal culture and these very like tried and true sort of obvious, you know, throwbacks to feminine presentations of women in fashion.
It just didn't all come together like it was supposed to. There's just some tailoring needed, but I think that comes like as you see yourself on television, you change your perspective on what you look like over time. So based on Jackie's run, like I think she did okay this season. She obviously should have went home a little bit earlier. But you know what? She's here and she gets a 6.5 out of 10 for me on this dress. And her performance was, if she had changed the hair, I actually think her performance was good. I think she did that. Like everyone did on the stage and she did pretty well in her performance, like for the aspect that she was supposed to give. So yeah, let's move on to the fashion queen though.
Can I say one thing?
Oh yeah, go for it.
I think her entrance look is stronger than this look.
The Minnie Mouse?
Yeah, because it says exactly what she's trying to say in one look.
Farsi.
She says, I'm American, I'm also brown. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that marriage of culture.
Yeah.
And I don't see that in this final sort of like runaway look that she gave us. And that's kind of what I'm talking about. Just for anyone who's listening, there is a point I'm trying to get at here. Like, I think there's a right way and a wrong way to go about this. And she seems to have kind of gotten it earlier on in the challenge. I mean, in the season versus today.
Jackie, if you're listening, know that we don't hate you. We just, you know, raise an eyebrow sometimes. But yes.
Two eyebrows, maybe three.
Yeah, because this unibrow really is coming in right now.
Period.
Thanks, quarantine. So moving into the fashion queen, Gigi herself. Miss Gigi Good was great. She started off her performance great. She was those red chaps and that red hair with the texture. Are you fucking kidding me?
Fashion. Like,
I know I talk shit about cameras moving across the stage and shit like that, and they are moving. I'm not crazy. But Gigi herself has to be on that stage putting in some work, and she put in work for this challenge.
And she's still giving you the legendary boy body in the drag.
She sure is.
She's giving you this.
Stunning, stunning. Oh, it's puss. It's puss, hon. It's puss. Oh, it was just, it's so fierce. Like,
it's fierce.
That red hair, like that, I was not expecting her to come out in. And it was crimped. Like, the crimping texture was wonderful for her. Never thought in a million years I'd see her come out in an all red, like, getup like that. It was fierce. The slide across the floor, the performance, like, she sold it. And then, oh my God. She looked walked. Like
an X-Men supervillain or something.
Yeah. It was like Psylocke gone red instead of pink.
Oh, this is great shit.
God, Gigi, like, what the fuck? And then she walks around the corner in this 80s/90s prom gown with the headgear. How did you feel about this, first of all?
I was in love with it because I love 80s aesthetics. And someone like Gigi making this choice is like the most obvious but not obvious thing ever.
Right.
And that's like goes back to what I was saying about the challenge. I feel like this is how you do this. You take your brand and whatever those elements are that make you who you are, and you infuse them into a look. And she took high fashion, you know, like, just she took the fashion and then she gave us that personality element with the quirkiness and the head brace and all that stuff.
Yeah,
like that, to me, I could believe that she had a head brace or something in high school if she were to say that story. That's how it feels to me when I look at this look.
It
and the hair,
oh
girl,
like, it, the thing is, she walked around the corner and I got the references immediately. Like, this is Drew Barrymore in Never Been Kissed. Like, this is Pretty in Pink.
I got Pretty in Pink for sure.
Like, very Pretty in Pink. Like, just the idea that this person could walk around and give me, like, Molly Ringwald, it's immediately that reference for me. She's just...
Well, she actually favors Molly, too, which is the funny part. Like, in the red with this, and especially because, you know, Molly got those big teeth, too. So she favors her in that particular way, which is really cute.
But Gigi got that jaw, though. That's the only thing that separates her and Molly, to be honest.
True.
Is that true? That big-ass jaw.
Which, I will say, she handled really well with a lot of these looks, because she chooses some of these looks where, like, it'll cut the neck up high, so you see less of the connection between the face and the neck. Like the actual, you know, she creates more of a division and a dimension between like the front of her face and her actual neck, which is
right. Hard. God, like, it was so good. Like, the cummerbund being used as a corset with the, like, who thinks of this?
I'm sure we could do that, but it's super cute. I'm sure you could think of
me coming out with like the same look.
Right, let's not.
But it was just so good, like the pink, the accenting pieces, even when she took off the brace, it wasn't about the brace. Like, the rest was beautiful. The brace was just an add-on, and it wasn't a needless one. It just made sense.
And despite being one of the fishier girls on the show, Gigi is like the one who consistently, like, doesn't, you know, wear pads, you know what I'm saying? And like, it's like seeing this masculine and feminine together, like, even in the fact that, like, when she's out of drag, she's still got her nails in and stuff, which is not, you know, normal. It's not abnormal. A lot of the girls do this, but I feel like it's cute to see how she's pairing masculine and feminine and creating more of an androgynous aesthetic as opposed to picking one side or another. I love seeing stuff like that too.
I agree. Gigi ended this, honestly, 9.5 out of 10. Like, I can't give her a 10, but, like, I gotta give her that 9.5, because if I give her the 10, it, like, sets it in stone.
It's just so good. I wouldn't be mad at anyone for giving her a 10, because in this particular challenge, what did she do wrong? Nothing.
Was she justifiably the winner for you?
When it comes to this challenge, yes, I think so. I think that I still prefer Jada overall in the arc of her, you know, participation, and I love, and we'll get to her actual look in a second.
Mm-hmm.
But for this challenge, like, for this particular runway, if we looked at just the runway right here, like, this is the winner of this runway.
I think if maybe Well, no, let's just talk about it and then I'll justify it later. So Jada slayed this.
She did.
The dance, the performance in the mirror. She had a wonderful entrance to it. And she's been good throughout the season. Like, she has not faltered to me throughout the season. And she's come up with the greatest moments. Like, look over there. And hi, I'm that, you know, terrible actress from the, you know, Gay's Anatomy thing.
100.
She slayed. And then she walks around this runway in this Coming to America gold platelet gown. It is stunning. She's stunning. Like, she's a sight to behold. I don't know how you could look at her and not be like, what the, like, wow. This is perfection from head to toe. Not a thing out of place. Like, she's another, just to give a score right off the bat, like, I should give her the 10. And I will give her the 10. She is it to me.
It's hard for me because I misspoke earlier. I was specifically talking about the look and how it applies to the actual, like, this particular, I guess, drag category.
Mm-hmm.
She won a 10 too. Are we giving out two 10s? Because,
like, how?
They look so fucking good.
I can't. I'm pitting this white woman against this black woman, but there's just something about that gold platelet dress. But also, there's something about that pink dress too. Oh,
I think what makes Jada's sort of elevates hers to actually sort of match more with this competition is I love the piece in the back, like that, like feathery, like not feathery, that flowy cape thing. That's so cute, and her face is crazy as always,
bitch,
girl. And I think she more than even Gigi really succeeds at the sort of transformation aspect of drag and female impersonation. That's actually a part of what she's trying to do most of the time. And I think that's kind of the difference between her and Gigi is, like, Gigi's obviously supposed to be like high femme, you know, woman, you know, fishy queen. But from the perspective of how she accomplishes that transformation, I think Jada commits way harder than pretty much anyone else on the show. And her performance, I mean, the way she hit those moves and those numbers.
Yes. Even when they raised the fans. Oh, my God. Yep. Oh my God. Like,
she's that like black girl who always, you know, there's always that black girl who's like hitting the choreography harder than everyone, no matter what setting it is. Like, it's in the cafeteria. There's like this little black girl who knows the whole deep Beyonce move.
Oh, true.
You know what I'm saying?
I was the single ladies girl, like doing the move.
Right. I know this. One second. Like, that's how it feels.
The white Christian girls near me, they're like, teach me that. I'm like, girl, I can't teach you. No.
Wait for Evanescence.
Yeah, wait for that. Wait for that. Go cry in the bathroom with what do y'all do? Ketamine or whatever. Go do that.
Stop.
And like, you know, cry to lithium. And lithium is a
problem. I'm about to say, I'm just kidding, Amy Lee. I love you. Oh my God.
Okay. Go and do Bring Me Back to Life in your mom's car when you're mad that she took away your, like, whatever.
I still sing Call Me When You're Sober. And I don't even have no man who, like, has alcohol problems. Like, same. That's the bot.
I am the man with the alcohol problem.
So we're men now, I see.
You know what? I am fluid. Oh my God. But yes, like, the dress was it. Like, if she had gone with any more jewelry and made it any more outlandish, I couldn't fathom it. Like, the hair was very Coming to America. Like, I literally saw that woman come down the stage, like a drag version. And it's effortless. Like, it's effortless.
Yeah, it looks so good.
And to me, she technically is my winner of the season, even though I think Gigi could also win the season. And I wouldn't have an upset. Like, they're both tied for me in terms of performance. Like, Gigi might have more wins, but she was in the bottom more. Jada obviously landed in the bottom once where she had to lip sync, but she's been in the top consistently, like, from the beginning to end, and only landed in the bottom, like, towards, like, the bottom three once, and then she had to, that was the same one that she had to lip sync in, where Gigi, she's in the bottom three, like, two times, I think, and had, like, a low tier, like, safe before that. So, like, I don't know. This isn't a numbers game, though. We've seen Shay lose. randomly based on a number game. So, bitch, I'm not quantifying, but like, Jade is so good.
Yeah, Jade is. Jade is my favorite to win. That's who I would prefer to win. But
yeah,
I'm team either or right now. I think this is one of those seasons where I would be very surprised if one of those two did not win. I think it's pretty clear at this point who should.
Yeah, and with this virtual lip sync that's about to happen, I don't know how that's gonna work, but
you know,
I saw Gigi's disco all white performance, and I thought she did really good in that, and I was very surprised that was done in like a home or something, or like a setup or whatever.
Gigi is a strong lip syncer, mm-hmm. in my opinion, and I like to see when, you know, like you have the queens that just look better than everyone else all the time actually come out and be actual drag queens and dance and you know, turn around and spin and learn their little choreography and shit. Like seeing that level of competence is what I really want out of someone who's going to win this competition.
Right.
So that's something I give to her in her way. And that's something that I give to Jada as well, who I think always turns it out on the stage regardless.
Yeah.
But knowing that she also has some of that, like those like drag soft skills that RuPaul cares about, like being able to fucking, you know, jump higher than, like basically jump and ask, like for her to ask how high whenever Ru says to jump, she's doing that too, so that's cool.
Right. I mean, Jada just so lip sync wise, Jada versus Gigi, who wins?
If Gigi wins that lip sync, I would be very, very surprised. Jada just does it better, in my opinion, all the time. Like that's the aspect of the competition where I think Gigi has done very well because she has solid chops there. But Jada has a level of confidence and fluidity in her motion that, like, you can't just teach to other people. And if they give her the right song in the right dress, she wins. It's over. She would have to make a huge mistake, in my opinion, to really clearly lose against Gigi.
Or and Jada,
a good competitor.
Or, like, Gigi would have to pull out the Sasha Velour, like, some random godsend mechanic that really just sends the performance, like, to the next level.
Yeah, unless Gigi is hiding something from us, which, to be honest with you, I believe she could be. Mm-hmm. Even now, I think Gigi is one of those ones who always has something up her sleeve in a good way. I think she's very surprising, despite being what you would consider to maybe be a predictable queen mm-hmm. from the very beginning. Whereas with Jada, I think you actually know what Jada's capable of, but it's just a lot.
Right. Like, she has a monstrous, like, colossal set of skills. And she's proven that every single one of those are, like, top tier, gold star skill sets. But I don't know. Like, I mean, she reminds me almost, when she lip syncs, she reminds me of, like, a Kennedy Davenport. Like, she slays the hell out of dancing. You'll never beat her in it kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But the dance style, a lot of people do it.
I was gonna say, yep, that's it. It's like it's very tried and true, but someone who's mastered tried and true, like they're doing that every single time the way it needs to be done. Right. Versus like it's literally like a Roro versus Rogue or some shit. Like Rogue could just get the right set of powers to beat your ass,
mm-hmm.
or you can just have the baddest bitch in the game kill you in like a moment.
Yeah,
this
is Sasuke versus Naruto. This is very like Chidori versus Rasengan. Like, which one takes up?
I hate that.
One requires an extreme. Both require an extreme amount of skill. Like the Rasengan requires an extreme amount of manipulation skill with chakra. The other one is like an elemental manipulation of chakra. Like they're both requiring high levels of skill, but two different types of skill.
I feel like that's more fitting for Jacket Cox versus Heidi, because on some level, like there's the conversation about like just being so, just believing so much in your ability to like overcome that you're just surpassing talent.
Girl, and
that's very Jacket Cox.
Girl, that's so brown. That's not Sasuke versus Naruto. Jacket Cox and Crystal are like Sakura versus Ino in the Chunin exams. Like neither of them could really do anything, but you know they're punching. And then Crystal came out with her, you know, her mind. She had a version of herself in there, and she beat the shit out of Jackie somehow.
Oh, I stand. That's so perfect. That is so, and they fighting over the same man at AKA title. That's so perfect.
Who didn't care about either one?
Right. Right.
Okay. Not until the girl almost died and literally mastered a medical ninjutsu that is like basically top tier.
That kind of works in my head canon if Jada is Sasuke, because she's the trait of the season.
I thought that was Heidi.
No.
Oh. It's a joke. Yeah, sure. But yeah, I can see it. Like, she does give me Sasuke energy. Like, Jada is basically the top tier, but somehow, some way, Gigi's like, I don't know, maybe her white privilege might, you know, pan out and give her Hokage status.
I mean, when your mom does all your drag and like...
Oh, so
that's kind of like how
is the Nine Tails.
That's how, yeah, she's the Nine Tails and the Hokage and the Leaf Village and plot armor. That's who she is.
Yeah. For the audience, we have now established an anime plot linking. If someone could, I don't know if anyone that listens would actually want to do this, but if someone could put Sasuke versus Naruto on the what do you call that? The waterfall. When they're standing next to each other, just put Jada and Gigi on it.
Jesus heads. We need to hire someone. If y'all just seriously, I will get this done. If y'all put like $5 on it, $5 to $10 a person, a listener, let's get it done.
Yeah, let me talk a put out and hurry up with this idea, because we just established an art that cannot be beat. Oh my god. So then, like, the last person, obviously I have to talk about them, because when I tell you I laughed so hard when they said, oh boo.
An icon. I hate her. Because she's actually good.
Oh my god. I have never laughed so hard at Drag Race in my life. Because the flashback to Aiden in that bed. And Britta's spit just like hitting her face. And she's like, oh, boo.
In a way, Sherry is like Orochimaru.
Please don't, because I'm the Orochimaru in the Sanin. Oh no.
But I mean, it fits. It kind of fits.
I'm not a predator.
You're not a predator. But maybe you're not a Orochimaru girl.
Okay, but I do want someone else's body, but I'm not gonna catfish them for it.
Gag.
That's the tea. I would do what Orochimaru did.
Oh my god.
I am the Orochimaru.
くだらない野望だ。でもそのために私の手足となって動くいろいろな駒が必要な。サスケもその駒の一人ってわけだ。違うわ。サスケ君は優秀な手駒。そして今試験を受けてる彼らはただの捨て駒よ。
I feel...very uninterested in seeing how this plays out.
I mean, like, the tea is for the audience, like, me and this Dominican girl I used to know and one of my other Haitian friends were in this group together, the Sanins of Shade, and I was the Orochimaru. The darker skinned girl was not oh my god, Jiraiya, and then the Dominican, of course, was Tsunade, because she believed so much in her heart that she wasn't black. Which was not as genjutsu.
Oh my god.
So yeah, that was it. And like, I was Orochimaru, but to be compared to Sherry Pie, I feel
I have not directly compared you to Sherry Pie. That is not what happened here.
This is so disrespectful.
Do you feel attacked? I would like to know.
I had to open my mouth and crawl out of my body and go to another body because of how much damage I've taken.
This body was under attack and you had to survive.
Yeah. Bitch, you use a tailed beast bomb on me and I put up the Rasen Kyoku all three gates and you still went through. Oh my god, I'm so sorry. This episode, we really did tell Caputo, like, get out, because we need to make nerd references.
We really did. Sorry, girl. Hope you come back soon.
Oh my God. But you know what? Sherry's like costume was amazing. I love Mae West. I love that like periwinkle blue kind of color. Like, I think the runway was spot on beautiful. Like, that designer deserves a lot of credit. How did you feel about her performance? I know you said earlier that like you thought this was kind of designed for her.
Sorry, say that one more time.
I was saying you had said earlier that you thought that this challenge was kind of designed for Sherry, basically, because of the way she started moving. Could you elaborate on that just slightly?
Yeah, I think Sherry has consistently shown that she's like the Broadway queen of the show. Like, a lot of girls came on and said they had acting chops, and maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But Sherry has always consistently at least been safe in this area. And despite taking 17 minutes to do her like whole monologue thing during that one challenge, she was able to talk for 17 minutes and entertain an entire crowd of people. So she is that girl. And it looks like she has the ability to also move on stage too. She's decent in that regard. So I feel like this is one of those challenges that she could have definitely taken home if, you know,
the
she
mess.
Was better than Jada, but she isn't.
Right. Yeah, she's not. There's no competition there. But
yes,
the look, everything was great. And so I got to give her her props. So now we got to go into the finale. I obviously, we both want Jada to win, but Gigi is a very nice runner up second.
100.
Yeah, if she wins, I'm not going to riot in the streets. But I will throw something in my room just to be cute and coy.
She's the she-go to Jada's Kim Possible. God, I'm so done. Sorry, I'm so sorry. Once I get started, I cannot stop.
I'm dying. What the hell?
Because, I'm so sorry.
Because Gigi literally has that wig.
She does. She does. I literally think of her when I think of Shego now.
Actually, she could do a Shego look on the runway. I wouldn't be mad. All Star 6?
Fuck Daphne's drag, bitch. She could have given us Shego. Period. Same, basically the same look.
Oh my God. Wow. Like, that's a discovery. You really hit the head last week with Shay and Omarosa. This week was Gigi and Shego. Like,
you're on a roll. I already, you know, I stand me, but like, when I listen to that, no self-confidence issues here, honey.
Right.
When I was listening to that last episode and I heard myself just defy the odds and give you the most obvious but amazing idea about Shay's like iconic award-winning Snatch Game performance as Omarosa, I just knew where I was. I knew what I was on.
Wow. Get her on the producer team World of Wonder. Like, you know.
I mean, I would dilute their percentage of white people by a good amount. I think
that's why I want you on there. Because you're my ticket in.
White people's worth, two black people's worth of a black person. So let's do it. Yeah. I'm so sorry, Caputo, because you know she wants to just edit this episode now.
I know she probably will, but it's fine. I might make her do it. I might be like, okay, here's what you can do. You can do all the little editing that I do. Just make sure you add my music and put in the gunshots when we need them, because there's going to be a few.
Get that Puerto Rican director's cut.
Yeah. We might give you the West Indian card if you do well.
Yeah, if she can get Bad Bunny to put a song on this shit royalty free, let's do it. Y'all could be West Indian then.
Right. For the listeners, that's never gonna happen for me. But I'm like, hey, sure. Because I live in Orlando. I hate Puerto Ricans, but that's other tea.
I love Puerto Ricans for the, you know, we balance each other out, Dolce and I, for the record.
Because you're Puerto Rican.
Love my girls.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, that's basically the end of the season. My God, it's been some weeks. Thank you all for traveling with us through this journey of whiteness and drag, and standing Jada Essence Hall, who is the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race season 12. So yeah, Caputo, any last words? This is basically our last episode of this review.
Mariah Carey is the greatest.
My God, you're filling in for her. Stop.
You said Caputo.
Cancer energy was gone.
No last words. I'm very happy with how this episode went, and I think we all know who the true winner of this season of Drag Race should be.
Yes, Gigi Good's mom.
Period. The true goat. She need her own crown. I don't give a fuck who wins.
She's making multiple bags. I really don't. I really hope the rumors that she's just locked up in a cell somewhere, like as like one of those people who makes outfits. Like,
is she like locked up with Drake's and Beyonce's writers, or
probably the like, same in the same building? Same place. Yeah, not the same room, but the same building, maybe.
Let me stop.
Okay,
I need to say that, like, actually, not kill me, please.
Please stop. You can end the recording.